Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Manchmal willst du einfach nur ans Meer oder durch die Straßen einer lebendigen Stadt schlendern oder endlich den Moment genießen. Einfach die Welt mit TUI neu erleben. Mit TUI reist du so, wie du willst. Als Familie, zu zweit oder einfach allein. Flexibel, sicher und immer mit dem guten Gefühl, dass jemand da ist, wenn es drauf ankommt. Gestalte mit TUI Urlaub ganz nach deinen Wünschen. Überall im Reisebüro, auf tui.com und in der App.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Hi everyone, it's Anusha Battersby here. Today, I'm here to tell you all about Not Quite Dead, a brilliant podcast on the RQ Network. Not Quite Dead is a gory horror romance podcast from the award-winning team behind Spirit Box Radio, Remnants, and Clockwork Bird. Join Alfie, a nurse working overtime, when a patient arrives with her throat torn out. This is just the beginning of a terrifying night as Alfie finds himself caught in a battle between the living and the undead. Saved by a mysterious vampire named Casper, they find themselves inescapably bound together. Neither of them are happy about it, but the draw of each other's blood is irresistible. Search for Not Quite Dead wherever you listen to your podcasts, or go to hangingslothstudios.com or www.rustyquill.com. If you want to support Not Quite Dead and its creators, head to www.rustyquill.com/fundraiser.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Protocol. Episode 47, Repetitive Strain.
Please remember to knock before coming into my office, Celia. You were the one who called me in here. Nevertheless...
Nevertheless what, Gwen?
Anyway, I've called you in here because this is the second time this week you've turned up late.
Look, can we just not? Not tonight, please.
Now, I know we're all feeling the strain at the moment, but that just means it's even more important that we do our jobs.
And what exactly is your job, Gwen? Because while I'm out there sorting everyone's caseloads on my own, you just seem to be sat in here twiddling your thumbs, watching everything go to hell.
I'm not twiddling my thumbs.
No, sometimes you get up and pace aimlessly. I can see from here you haven't even checked your messages yet.
Is everything okay at home, Celia?
We are done here.
I decide when we're done. Just try not to let it happen again.
I'm after Lena Kelly. Got your card from your assistant, girl, before she flagged it. I've been thinking, and yeah, maybe I overreacted. I'm in a better place now, so I thought, why not? Let's hear the offer. So yeah, call me back if you're still interested. Bring the paperwork round or not, whatever.
Is that, Grace?
Who's asking?
This is Gwendolyn Bouchard.
Never heard of ya.
You chased me out of your warehouse? You killed a man with his own tattoos in front of me?
Doesn't ring a bell.
I'm with the OIAR.
Oh, the trash poker princess. How you doing? You changed your mind about the ink?
What? No, I'm calling about the contract I offered you.
You're gonna have to speak up. I'm working. One sec. Sorry. Where were we?
The contract.
Oh, right, yeah. So, last time I was in a real I alone bear the curse kind of era, but turns out there's loads of us out here, and a bunch of them do gigs for you guys, and they totally talked me around, so yeah, just bring the paperwork over and I'll get it signed and we can get started.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
You what?
We don't have a contract for you.
Is this about the whole warehouse thing? You don't need to get all bent out of shape. I told you, I was in a bad place. I'm doing much better now.
The contract is closed.
Say again.
The woman who wanted to contract you has been fired. The OIAR is under new management, and that means no more work for unstable externals. No more free victims and special favours. I'm in charge now, and we're going to be doing things properly. My way.
Who the fuck are you calling unstable?
You don't need to get all bent out of shape about it.
Right. And what do I tell the others?
Tell them the buffet is closed.
Oh, I'll tell them. You have no idea. You are so completely...
Oh, for Christ's sake!
HMP Downview, Surrey, internal records. Notice to prisoner. Restriction of communications. Prisoner details. Surname, Lively. Forename, Sarah. Date of birth, 17/06/1985. Prison, HMP Downview. Establishment, same. Cell location, Wing C, cell 17. Restricted person details. Surname, Jex. Forename, Eleanor Sophie. Restriction details. Time period 06:05:20:24. Contact. Written letter. Grounds for restriction. Victim harassment. Communication reads: Sarah Lively, you have been restricted from contacting the above-mentioned person on the following grounds. Victim harassment. The decision to restrict you from contacting this individual has not been taken lightly, as our establishment is committed to maintaining ties with family and friends. Restriction of communications is not part of any form of punishment, but we are committed to make our establishment a safe and secure environment for prisoners, visitors, and staff, and to safeguard the public where necessary. The restriction will be reviewed on 01/09/2024. You may appeal against this decision by using the formal complaints procedure, available on your residential unit for the attention of the head of security and operations. A digitized copy of this message and the attached letter will be held in your permanent record. Regards, Ada M.K., HMP Downview, Security Manager. Attachment reads: Hi, Al. I don't know why I'm writing this. There's no way they'll let it get through security, and even if they do, there's no way you would open it. Why would you? But I need to write this. I need something, somewhere, that says what actually happened, even if no one ever believes it. So if, by some miracle, you're reading this, then I need you to know. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry that you had to go through all this awfulness. I'm sorry that I broke your family, but I'm not sorry for what I did. Your brother deserved what happened, and I think you know that, even if you can't believe it right now. I'd been going to therapy for 6 months when I decided to get a tattoo. I needed an anchor, something concrete I could look at, something he couldn't pretend didn't happen, because it would be right there, reminding me of myself. At least, that was the idea. I don't care what Dr. Sutcliffe said in court, though. It wasn't an impulse decision. Sutcliffe had discussed it with me weeks beforehand, and had even made me fill in a questionnaire about it. There's no way I could even have gotten a walk-in session with someone like Inksoul. It doesn't work like that. They could have told you that themselves if they had testified. We had this whole email chain over weeks because I wanted "this too shall pass" and she kept saying she needed creative freedom. That is, until I agreed to pay double. I'd have copies of all of this and more if David hadn't deleted my accounts. Not that it would make a difference. I went to their pop-up studio and got the work done, and it looked good. Great even. Though it hurt far worse than my first tattoo. They said I shouldn't cover it, but obviously I had to hide it. I got home alright, and even managed to keep it secret at first, but that evening he grabbed my forearm. It hurt like hell, and I cried out. Then, well, it went about as well as you would expect. I don't know why that was the night I left him. Something about smearing my tattoo, the one thing that was meant to be outside his power. It hurt. And more than just my arm. The fine line work was already coming apart, and I remember thinking I couldn't imagine a more bitter reminder of why I needed to leave. I already had a go bag stashed in my wardrobe and a jar of cash behind the loo. It was Dr. Sutcliffe who suggested that. I was ready to feel a pull to stay, a guilt or something, but the only thing I thought as I tipped out the front door was, thank God we never had kids. I got in the cab and just told him to start driving. He wanted to know where, but I didn't know. I could barely speak. All I could say was, away, please. And then it was quiet. Blissfully, almost painfully quiet. Just the hum of the engine, the rain drumming on the windows, and the yellow motorway lamplights sweeping past in time with my heartbeat. Again. And again. And when I woke up in bed with him the next morning, I honestly thought I was dead. I had died in the car, and now I was in hell. It was the only possible explanation that made sense to me. I began to scream, but managed to choke it back. Instead, I slipped out of bed and checked the wardrobe to find my bag exactly where it always was. My cash jar was the same. It was only when I came back in from the bathroom that David opened his eyes. Then he rolled over, and that was that. I went downstairs and made him breakfast. After he'd left, I spent the morning cleaning and tidying as always, so by the time my therapy session came round, I'd already had hours to rationalise what happened as a dream. Vivid, cruel and traumatic dream, but a dream nonetheless. So, as normal, I checked David wasn't due back, locked myself in the bathroom and dialed into the session. It began the same as any other, but when I told Sutcliffe that I'd gone for the tattoo session, he suddenly interrupted me to criticise such impulsive behaviour. I laughed. But he was dead serious. And when I mentioned the questionnaire he'd had me do, he just looked at me skeptically and muttered in his quiet way, "That's not how I remember it." That chilled me. I don't know how long I sat there in the bathroom after that session, just thinking or thinking about thinking or not thinking at all. Finally, I looked down to my arm, looking for some reassurance, something permanent. Thankfully, it was still there and still hurting with the design still smeared by David the day before. The word shall was ruined, but it was still just about legible. This too shall pass. I resolved myself to leave that night. I didn't know what was going on with Sutcliffe, but it didn't matter. I'd always swore I would leave if he left a mark, and this had to count. The nightmare was just a premonition. So I went through the rest of the day as expected. Dinner was ready for when he came in, and I nodded in all the right places as he complained about his day. In bed, I waited till he started snoring, then counted to 500 so that I knew he was really gone. Then I grabbed the go bag and the cash and slipped out again. This time I didn't take a taxi, I just started walking. I didn't keep track of the time, but I must have been walking hours. My legs ached and my feet had blistered, but I didn't care. Every step I could feel myself getting away, feel it all fading away beneath my boots. I was thinking this as I made it to some farmland not far from the M3 and leant against a fence, watching the little parcel of horizon I could see as it crept towards dawn. It was going to be a beautiful sunrise. Then I woke up in bed. There was no falling asleep, no transition. Just one moment I was stood, waiting for a new day, and the next I was waking up to him again. He opened his eyes and looked deep into mine, then finally muttered, "What?" before rolling over. I bit my lip so hard it bled, then gently slipped out of bed and made breakfast. David left for work early, then I carried on with the chores. Eventually I went up to change the sheets, and that was when I saw the stain. A stain from a blister that had burst on my foot. A walking blister. Seeing that stain was like someone had poured a bucket of cold water over my head. I suddenly began panting and stared down at my tattoo, hunting for that reassurance, but I could barely see the words. In fact, as I stared at it, the whole thing seemed to twist into dirty, irregular, and ugly lines that now read, "Nothing shall pass." I did scream then. Long and deep and loud. I screamed and screamed with rage and anger and pain. I screamed till I was hoarse and it felt like I was ripping my own throat out. Then I stopped screaming, changed the sheets, and took the dirties to the washing machine. Dinner was ready for when he came in. I nodded in all the right places as he complained about his day, and then after he went upstairs and fell asleep, I slipped in after him and... I counted to 500 again after he stopped snoring, even though there was no way he was waking up. Not after losing that much blood. I'll be honest, Elle. It felt so good. So unbelievably freeing to finally cut him loose, knowing that there would be no consequences, no punishment, no guilt, just another reset, and then everything would be like it was. I actually laughed out loud when I realized I could feel this way every single day, no one would ever know. I decided to go for a walk afterwards, stretch my legs, see if I could catch that beautiful dawn again before the reset. The police picked me up about 20 hours after you found him and called it in. I was still waiting for the reset that never came. I'm sure you think I'm crazy. My own therapist said as much to a jury, and all the evidence at the trial showed the same, but even so, I just need you to know that killing your brother wasn't my first choice. That said, I don't regret it, even though it's stuck, and there's no going back this time. Trust me, it's better this way. I'm just sorry I hurt you when I freed myself. Look after yourself, Elle. With all my love, Sarah.
Jack! Alice?
Hey, Celia. Can you hear me? I'm in the airport and the signal's crap.
No, yeah, I hear you. Did you get a flight in the end?
Yeah, it was a massive ball ache, but... long story, don't worry about it.
I'm just glad to hear you're all good. Sorry it didn't pan out.
Wasn't a complete... complete bust. And hey, at least I made a terrifying new friend. Listen, while I finally have you made any progress with Sam at your end? I haven't been getting any updates.
Oh, well, I mean, Gwen's been pushing me pretty hard while you've been gone.
So? Push her back. Off a cliff, preferably.
I just mean I've not had much time. I'm doing four people's caseloads, and...
So what? You haven't got anything?
I didn't say that.
Fine, whatever. I'll be there tomorrow. Bring whatever you've got and you can catch me up then.
Sure.
Right, I've got to go. Talk later.
Alice good?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine. Alice good.
You are certain?
It's nothing.
She is not sleeping. The child is perhaps keeping her up. Little ones are always the loudest.
What?
Oh, do not worry, Liebchen. You did not let it slip. You were very careful. But I can smell these things, weißt du?
I won't let you hurt them.
You could not stop me. But this does not matter. I do not want to harm them. You know this. I have a gift for the boy. You will take it to him.
Listen, I appreciate all your help. I do. But I'm not going to give my friend's kid a gift from... Well...
You forget yourself. And worse, you forget me. You can take this gift, or I can take your life. It is your choice.
Why?
Because I am the toy maker. I am Heinrich und Heinrich. I am polite, yes, but I am not kind. Now choose.
Ah, fuck, do it then.
Yeah.
Do it.
I do like you very much, Alice.
What?
There is no choice for you. The toy is already in your bag. I look forward to your efforts to be rid of it.
I chose to...
Gute Reise, Alice. Bis bald.
Magnus Protocol is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. The series is created by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This episode was written by Alexander J. Newell and edited with additional materials by Jonathan Sims. With vocal edits by Nico Vitesse. Soundscaping by Meg McKellar and mastering by Catherine Ranella, with music by Sam Jones. It featured Billy Hindle as Alice Dyer, Anuja Battersby as Gwen Bouchard, Laurie Ann Davis as Celia Ripley, with additional voices from Alexander J. Newell. The Magnus Protocol is produced by April Sumner, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell, Danny McDonough, Lynn C., and Samantha F. G. Hamilton, and associate producers Jordan L. Hawke, Taylor Michaels, Nicole Perlman, Cetia Steraven, and Megan Nice. To subscribe, view associated materials, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Hi everyone, it's Anusha Battersby here. Today, I'm here to tell you all about Not Quite Dead, a brilliant podcast on the RQ Network. Not Quite Dead is a gory horror romance podcast from the award-winning team behind Spirit Box Radio, Remnants, and Clockwork Bird. Join Alfie, a nurse working overtime, when a patient arrives with her throat torn out. This is just the beginning of a terrifying night as Alfie finds himself caught in a battle between the living and the undead. Saved by a mysterious vampire named Casper, they find themselves inescapably bound together. Neither of them are happy about it, but the draw of each other's blood is irresistible. Search for Not Quite Dead wherever you listen to your podcasts, or go to hangingslothstudios.com or www.rustyquill.com. If you want to support Not Quite Dead and its creators, head to www.rustyquill.com/fundraiser.
Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol, and I'm here to tell you about From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an upcoming novel available for pre-order right now at rustyquill.com/novel. Return to the world of the Magnus Archives in From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an official prequel novel written by Nebula, World Fantasy and Aurora award-winning author Premi Mohammed, with the help of the Magnus Archives' own writer and lead voice, Jonathan Sims. From the Library of Jürgen Leitner explores an infamous organization from the Magnusverse for the first time, the perilous private library of the enigmatic collector Jürgen Leitner, where occult books are guarded and researched at a fatal cost. Leitner's library keeps the dangers of these books in check and the would-be readers safe, or so Leitner claims. For two of Leitner's employees, the risks are worth it. For Hugh Franklin, the library is a place to belong. For Sebastian Everett, the library is an opportunity to indulge arcane ambitions. Though their 10 years at the library were years apart, Hugh and Sebastian's stories unfold in parallel, and their footsteps echo down the same eerie aisles, caught in a web spun long before either ever heard the name Jürgen Leitner. Will they find a way out, or will the library consume them before it's too late? From the Library of Jürgen Leitner will be published on October the 27th, 2020. And is available for pre-order now. Visit rustyquill.com/novel for more information. That's rustyquill.com/NOVEL.